You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Look, we've realised, like a lot of people, that our current approach to New Zealand's drug problem isn't working and we should do something new. And, you know, in terms of designing what that new thing is, you know, let's borrow from those countries that have had successful reform. And we think as a starting point, the best country is Portugal. You know, they decriminalised all drugs. They implemented a health referral system, and they put a whole lot of new resources into prevention and treatment services, and they saw huge benefits. Drug use came down, more people could access help. We think we should take that one further step, and for drugs like cannabis, we should introduce public health regulation, similar to what Canada is going to do next year, where you introduce legal sales, but tightly controlled, with the aims of reducing youth cannabis use, as well as trying to undermine the power of the black market. Bottom line for us is, let's be grown up enough to admit that our current approach isn't working and that there are different approaches that do work.
Right, so could you expand upon the problems with the current system?
Well, look, I think we've got to the point with our drug law, which is now 42 years old, where the onus shouldn't be on me to prove why it's a failure, because I think the failures are so obvious. I think the onus now has to go on to those politicians who support the status quo to prove to us why they think that approach is the best approach to stick with. Because I tell you what, you know, you put your cards on the table. We have some of the highest rates of drug use in the world. We have waiting lists for treatment. We are criminalising a whole lot of people, and that criminalisation is targeted at Māori and at young people. On any measure, our current law is an absolute failure. It's worse than a failure. The law itself is causing harm.
Yeah, so on that, do you know how much is spent on the policing and incarceration of cannabis-related offences in New Zealand?
Not specifically cannabis, but we do know that of all of the money, it's about $350 million a year that the government spends on drugs, and that includes law enforcement and prisons and so on. Of that $350 million, 80% goes to police, it goes to courts, it goes to prisons and parole, goes to customs, and only 20% goes to treatment. And imagine what New Zealand would look like if we flipped that around and put the vast majority of our drug funding into prevention, into education, into treatment, into rehabilitation. I think New Zealand would be a much different place. And we know that it would be, because other countries who have done health-focused drug law reform have reaped the benefit.
So some people might argue that decriminalising all drugs will just lead to more drug abuse. What do you say to them?
I understand why people see that this is a counterintuitive thing, that, you know, let's remove the criminal system and put in a health system. And I get why people will be fearful that that's going to send a message to young people and that we're going to get increased drug use. That's a legitimate fear to have. What I can tell those people that have that fear is that in those parts of the world that have put in health-focused reform, like Portugal, drug use has come down, more people can get help. The whole way that society views its drug problem shifts in quite dramatic ways. So, yes, people's gut reaction is going to be uncomfortable. But, you know, in the real world where these kinds of reforms have happened, good things have come from that.
Do you think you could expand a bit on the Portuguese model?
Well, Portugal's an interesting one because everyone kind of cites Portugal as the country that decriminalised all drugs. And they did that back in 2001. And that is true. They did. They decriminalised all drugs. But their system is very clever. You know, if police pick you up, they won't take you to the police station. They won't process you through the criminal justice system. Instead, you get referred to people who can talk to you about your drug use and channel you to treatment if you need it, and provide any other intervention for people who aren't a problematic drug user. So that was the law reform and the health referral part. But importantly, Portugal put a whole lot of new money into prevention and into treatment. And New Zealanders know that our treatment system right now is woefully underfunded. There are 50,000 New Zealanders every year who need help for their alcohol and drug problem who can't get it. And that is shameful. And one of the reasons that situation exists is because we're spending all our money on law enforcement. And so when Portugal did those things, that health referral model, that decriminalisation and that resource and treatment, youth drug use came down, fewer people in prison, a huge reduction in overdose deaths, a huge reduction in HIV infections. On any measure, whether it's benefits to the health system, benefits to the justice system, Portugal is an outstanding model.
So basically what you're saying is when drugs are decriminalised and a more health-based approach is taken, there's less harm overall at the end of the day.
At the end of the day, there's less harm from the drugs themselves. And most importantly, there's less harm from the system that you put in place to control the drugs. And I have to say, you know, can anyone think of any other health issue that we expect the criminal justice system to solve? There is none. And so we need to get out of this rut that we're in, that we've been in for 42 years, expecting police to fix what is fundamentally a health and social issue.
So some people would claim that cannabis is a gateway drug and that legalisation will lead to abuse of harder drugs. What would your response be to this criticism?
It is a gateway drug, but not in the way that people think. There is nothing magical in cannabis that causes people who use cannabis to then desire other drugs. Yes, some people are risk takers and they might use pot and then they might use other drugs. The gateway exists in this way. You have to go to the criminal black market to buy your weed. That is the same market that's going to offer you methamphetamine, heroin, etc., etc. So the gateway, the cannabis gateway is real, but the gateway is the criminal justice system. Prohibition is the gateway.
Right. So I recently spoke to Jeff Simmons of the Opportunities Party, and they propose a similar policy as the New Zealand Drug Foundation's model. And basically, in regards to the whole gateway critique, yes, he takes a similar stance and says that some gangs are actually limiting the supply of cannabis and instead pushing for harder drugs like methamphetamine because it has a higher profit margin. Would you agree with that?
No, I mean, we've heard the same thing. It's very, you know, by definition, because these things operate in the black market, you know, under the radar, it's hard to get a sense of really what's happening. But look, we've heard enough from people at the grassroots who we trust to believe that it is true that meth is a much more dangerous, you know, exists in a much more dangerous way because cannabis is harder, you know, it's harder for people to get their hands on cannabis. And yes, you know, a smart gang would do whatever they had to do to build up their market.
So under the New Zealand Drug Foundation's model, consumption of cannabis would only be permitted in homes or licensed events. Why not in public or in places where people can consume alcohol, for example?
I think there's two issues here. One, and this is where the Canadians have come around really tough. They don't want to co-locate alcohol and cannabis. And I think that's right to be cautious. Let's keep, you know, one problematic drug away from another problematic drug. And I think we do need to be sensitive to the community desires. And I don't think the community would desire, particularly now that we're trying to become a smoke-free society, public smoking of cannabis. In all the places where cannabis has been legalised, there still remains prohibition about where people can use it. And I think it's right to remain cautious about that.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.